This morning, brothers and sisters, we start a series of sermons on the second part of the book of Daniel. That book can be divided into two parts. The chapters 1 through 6 are the historical part, the history in which Daniel is involved personally, and the chapters 7 through 12 are the prophetic part. Upon special request, I complete the series when a few years ago I did the first part and now set out for the second part. Daniel chapter 7, page 884. Daniel 7, this is the word of God. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this I looked, and behold, another like a leopard with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the 1st horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked, and because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed, and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Then I desire to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with his feet, and about the 10 horns that were on his head, and the other horn that came up, and before which 3 of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law. And they shall be given into his hand for a time, times and a half a time. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, brothers and sisters, we set out on the second part of a series on the book of Daniel. It's been a while since we completed the first part, consisting of the chapters 1-6. Those describe Daniel's life history from his arrival at Nebuchadnezzar's court till his rescue from the lion's den. In the chapters 7-12 now, the prophetic part, we receive the account of the visions of Daniel. So in these chapters, we won't hear Daniel explain and interpret the dreams of others. He himself receives visions. Apocalyptic visions, we call them. Apocalypse meaning revelation. Well, indeed, as we will be seeing in chapter 7 today already, there is a great resemblance between the second part and the book that's called The Revelation of Jesus Christ to John. In them, we receive visions that reveal to us the future, giving us revelation on the history of the world and of the church. In these visions, beloved, it seems as if Daniel is lifted out above the events of every day and is given a picture of the future of the nations of the world. It's like a movie picture almost. A video, we would say, of the developments in the world. But then portrayed with images. even bizarre images sometimes. Strange as these images may be, though, they are remarkable in the way they characterize the situations, the peoples, and the spirits of the ages. They help us to understand the history of the world and the church. We'll see that today already in this vision on the four beasts. It's not always easy to interpret these images, though, brothers and sisters. It takes a special effort. We have that already with the daily news and with the images that flood into our living rooms from day to day. Reading or hearing about events in history too, we're quickly confused and give up trying to understand. So often, we are more interested in matters pertaining to our personal life, our personal faith in Christ, and the comfort we can derive from that. We prefer to hear something practical or applicable to our small and simple lives, rather than be bothered with such difficult affairs. We just let history be history, and we let the media deal with the daily events, trying to make sense of them somehow. Thus, we keep these matters out of our life of faith. Let's not do so with these visions. Rather, let's make the effort and see what great comfort they render to us today. Spurgeon used to say that he read the newspaper to see how God was governing the world. Daniel helps us in this for the strengthening of our faith. So I may proclaim from the Word of God, summarizing our text as follows: comforting his saints, the Lord reveals the history of the world to Daniel. He sees, first of all, the beasts arising from the Sea of Nations. Secondly, he sees the judge alighting on the throne in heaven. And thirdly, he sees the kingship abiding on the Son of Man. So I summarize the message of our text as follows: comforting his saints, the Lord reveals the history of the world to Daniel. He sees the beasts arising from the Sea of Nations. He sees the judge alighting on the throne in heaven. He sees the kingship abiding on the Son of Man. So first of all, Daniel sees the beasts arising from the Sea of Nations. Daniel must have come to the end of his life, brothers and sisters, when he received the dreams reported in the chapters 7 through 12, including the vision of our text. It's the time of King Belshazzar, the time of chapter 5, when Daniel was promoted in a kingdom that was taken from that king the same night. After many, many years of faithful service in successive empires and to successive kings, Daniel ended up on a sidetrack, politically or professionally speaking. Yet he remained active as servant of the Lord. He reveals his will and work in this world to Daniel in the form of dreams, visions, which require interpretation from others this time, from angels, in fact. It's noteworthy to see how intensely Daniel himself is involved in what he sees and hears. It upsets him greatly and makes him feel sick, either by what he sees or by what he hears or by both. What does he see, beloved, when he gets this vision? Well, he saw the four winds of heaven, the four directions or regions of the winds, stirring up the great sea. In visions like this, the great sea almost always symbolizes the great world of the nations and the events happening in this world. As Isaiah, for instance, says in chapter 17, verse 12, "Oh, the raging of many nations, they rage like the raging sea. Oh, the uproar of the peoples, they roar like the roaring of the great waters." Or compare Revelation 17, verse 15. "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages." Well, that's the first thing Daniel sees: the wild waters churning by the winds, the great commotion among the sea of the nations. How familiar that sounds to us. Isn't that what we think quite often? When will there be rest among the nations? Peace among the peoples? Isn't that what we expected when the Cold War was over in the 1980s? Yet, since that time, we have had the Gulf War. We have seen the horrors in Rwanda, in Bosnia, in Chechnya, in Iraq, Afghanistan, and today it is Yemen, Ethiopia, yes, and Russia and Ukraine. When does it stop? Why would this be? What's the sense? Now, what answer do the scriptures give to these questions, beloved? What answer does Daniel receive? At his age, with his experience, he has seen kingdoms come and go. He has served at the courts of three empires. He has seen horrors and violence. He has seen powers rise and fall. What's behind it? What's the sense? That's what the other events in the vision show him. From the great sea, he sees beasts arise. No, he doesn't see a lion, a bear, or a leopard arise, but something like a lion. Something that looked like something like a bear. They had other features as well, like wings or heads or ribs. The one looks more terrible than the other, while the fourth one is monstrous for sure. Of course, then we realize that these are symbolic for kingdoms and human powers, in which Daniel, with the help of some explanation, can recognize, no doubt, the powers that have come up in his time and will arise. The first animal looks like a lion, a royal animal portraying the Babylonian Empire of Nebuchadnezzar. It's the beast that gets a human mind, that's humbled for a time with animal behavior, and then rises again, Daniel chapter 4. The bear, that's the Persian Empire, which was succeeded by the reign of a leopard. And I'm sure our young people know the sudden rise and quick success of the Greek king Alexander the Great. Rapid like a leopard. His kingdom did not last, however, but out of it the Seleucids arose, from which arose one fierce and venomous horn. That was the infamous Antiochus Epiphanes. The horn full of eyes and with a boastful mouth. He's often called the Old Testament Antichrist because he exalted himself against the Lord Almighty. He treated God's people Israel harshly and violently, and he replaced the worship of the Lord in the temple with the service of Zeus. Removed the altar of the Lord and put a heathen altar instead. Yes, indeed, in him we recognize the Antichrist of the last days. As we also see the many resemblances with the book of Revelation, particularly chapter 13, for instance. It's this resemblance, therefore, beloved, that helps us understand the meaning of this vision too. In it, Daniel doesn't just see the empires that rose and fell during his life. These beasts do not only represent those particular kingdoms. No, these beasts will continue to rise from the sea of nations. In their prophetic perspective, we see the powers in this world that will continue to come up and stir up the world until they all find their fulfillment and completion in the power of the Antichrist. The vision characterizes the political forces in the world, depicting them with beast-like features. Well, have we not seen these bestial features during our lifetime in powers like Hitler and Stalin, in an Idi Amin, Ceausescu, Milosevic, Saddam Hussein, and others? When people become power hungry, they often grow into brutal beasts, as we have seen in Rwanda. But as we could see just the same in the terrorist attacks on the Twin Towers orchestrated by Osama bin Laden, as their powers rise, their spirits turn into beasts. Daily, we see the evidence of it in our news broadcasts. Indeed, beloved, there have been lion-like powers such as Hitler and his National Socialist ideas, haughty and superior as they show themselves. Also, the bear-like nations present themselves, even today, who with their economic hunger devour nations around them, seeking to own the oil fields, the natural resources, the way Iran or presently Russia is doing. Also, in the approach of a Napoleon or in the sudden attacks from the Japanese, we recognize the leopard-like attempts to occupy the world in a jump and a neck-breaking strategy. Yes, do we then also see the fourth beast in its prophetic perspective? Does it not represent the monstrous attempts that have been made in history with iron power and crushing violence to eradicate, among others, but especially the people of the Lord? In Daniel's days, beloved, it may have been the boasting and hatred of Antiochus Epiphanes, but in later days it has been a Nero, a Napoleon, a Hitler, who with their boasting and bragging exalted themselves against the Lord and his anointed. Yes, what this monstrous empire pursues goes against the norms and morals of the nations. It brings hatred instead of love, loneliness instead of communion. In their approach, they may have made use of the false religion of the Greeks, or the gods of the Romans, or of the religious powers of Rome in the 16th century, or of the New Age movement or Islam today. Yet, it's the spirit of the Antichrist that we recognize in the beast of Revelation 13, and that we see and will see increasingly in the man of lawlessness that is being revealed today. We see its worldwide propaganda in radio and television, its spirit of lawlessness and godlessness on the internet. With its bragging and boasting, it rises from the sea of the nations and exalts itself against the Lord and his anointed. That's the prophetic perspective of Daniel's vision. Man wants to have divine powers and reaches for the skies, yet sinks below what's humane. With man, there is no comfort in history. We come to our second point. Daniel sees the judge alighting on the throne of heaven. Suddenly, the images cease, brothers and sisters. The pictures come to an end. It seems as if the heavenly tape is finished suddenly. The end, you wonder? No, Daniel's attention is drawn to something else. Thankfully, God is there too yet. When Daniel's eyes turn up to heaven, he sees a throne appear above the commotions of the nations, a throne and a court of justice. Thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. What does that mean? Is God portrayed here like Abraham or Moses or like a white-haired old man the way Michelangelo portrayed him in the Sistine Chapel in Rome? Can the God who lives, the God who is, can he and may he be portrayed like an old-aged man? Not at all. The Ancient of Days, that's a royal name denoting that he is the one who is from eternity. Daniel is seeing him who was and always has been before him and before anyone else and who will be there forever. Daniel's description shows a bit of God's wisdom, God's holiness, his overwhelming glory. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. He was surrounded by myriads and myriads of angels, and he is the one who has all power in heaven and on earth. This prophecy of Daniel, beloved, was given to encourage him. Yes, also to encourage us in our world of today. First of all, we are reminded that above all unrest and commotion in the world, there is the throne of God, immovable and majestic, the way we sing about it in the Psalms and hymns. The Lord our God is King, and he rules the nations. He is the judge who judges all the peoples. When we see him as judge, we don't just see something threatening in it, someone who punishes, but also the one who judges to set things straight, who rights the wrong, who throughout his vision, who vindicates the downtrodden. Yes, then we should note to our comfort how throughout this vision we hear about the saints. Verse 18, verse 22, verse 25, verse 27. This vision, therefore, encourages us and helps us look at the world today. Sometimes, beloved, we say, times are changing. The world moves fast. And there is nothing holy left in. What with the church? What with the kingdom of God? When does the reign of peace come? Just like the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Acts 1 verse 6. Then Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has said by his own authority. That's what we should remember. He determines the times and events of the world powers. The limits are in God's hands. and they are safe there. When one of those beasts tries to enforce its will to the nations, he basically assaults the throne of God. Yet God will never give the government of this world out of his hand. Let's be alert, beloved, and realize how the beasts from the sea seek to revolt against the Lord and his anointed one, revolutionize the norms and values, and change society. These are the ambitions of the superpowers too. Change. Change for the sake of man. In their bragging and boasting, they show their true spirit, and their end will be lawlessness. As the vision prophesies, the aim as well is the destruction of all that is God's and all those who are his, the saints. Let's not be naive and think, there have been wars throughout history, then here and then there. You just have to accept it, get used to it, and hope that it will pass you by. Let's never forget that in the background of all events in world history, there is a deep-rooted hatred against the Lord and his kingship. Let's be encouraged by the vision, therefore, and assert ourselves in our faith, knowing that he rules, the Lord. Believe that. Also in the sight of the judgments, the ordeals going over the world today. Believe it. Also when there seems to be a threat to world peace. The one day coming from the Muslims, the other day from China, or now again from Russia. The future of the world is in God's hands. Yes, what is more, to our comfort we may see him lay this future and government in the hands of the Son of Man, the one whom Daniel sees next in his vision. Our third point. Daniel sees the kingship abiding on the Son of Man. While he is watching and listening, brothers and sisters, Daniel sees the focus move to another sight. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. There is a movement from the earth to heaven, a Son of Man who ascends into heaven gloriously. When he arrives in heaven, he is not rejected because he has come from this world of lawless and godless mankind. No, he does not boast or brag. He does not speak against the Most High, but rather great things about God. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Who is he? A Son of Man. A real man, that is. Completely a man. While the children of men are depicted in their decline and descend below what's human or humane, beasts that reach out to heaven, this Son of Man came from the world of mankind, and of all things, to him was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. What a fascinating vision this is. How intriguing it is that in the Old Testament prophecies, we receive this vision of God's great and glorious plan of salvation. Well, beloved, as you know, when the Lord Jesus began his ministry, he preferred one title or name for himself above any other: Son of Man. In this name, he claimed Daniel's prophecy for himself, word for word. The Jews of his days recognized it, since the title Son of Man was commonly used as a name for the coming Messiah. Hence, everyone understood what he was speaking about when he spoke of himself as the Son of Man. Many believed in the Son of Man, while others were turned off and upset when he used it. When he proclaimed God's word for the first time in the synagogue at Nazareth, he presented himself as the anointed of the Lord, on whom the Spirit resides, the Messiah, who also could call himself the Son of Man. Time and again he introduced himself that way, indicating how the Father would exalt him, make him the judge of heaven and earth, to whom he would give the kingdom and the power. Then at the end of his ministry, he replied to his judges, I quote, "Yes, I am he, the Son of Man, who will come on the clouds. In the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Matthew 26, verse 63. He is the Son of Man, beloved, who humbled himself, and whom God exalted and crowned with heavenly power and glory. It reminds us of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. Verse 47. He is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our mediator between heaven and earth, between God and man. By his power, we are raised up to a new life, and in his image and likeness, we are renewed. He showed us what's truly a man of God, a man who shows the love of the Father and his compassion, his mercy, and total dedication to him. Not because he has to or was forced to, but because he wants to love and obey his Father in total commitment and devotion to his Father. That's how Daniel saw him. Now also in his royal dignity. Yes, Daniel sees the whole history of the world culminate to his victory, and he sees the kingship rest on him. The Son of Man, he will reign in the midst of his saints. What great comfort, beloved. Yes, what great comfort to us who are living in the midst of a godless and adulterous generation. What great comfort when you see the lawlessness and the godlessness of the last days increase. As you see the Son of Man receive the authority and the power, so it will be handed to you. As we read in verse 27, the angel, however, had assured Daniel of this in verse 18 already, while in verse 22 also, the righteous judge is revealed as vindicating his saints and giving them the kingdom as their possession. Just as we will see in Revelation 5, the Lamb received the power to open the scroll of history, and those who are his may share in his government of the world. So Daniel already was assured of that prospect. He comes. He comes to judge the people, redeeming the world from evil, and he will entrust the world as an inheritance to his saints. And they will reign forever and ever. Revelation 22, verse 5. Hence, let's go on and serve him, the Son of Man. Let us continue to observe the unrest of the nations and believe the prospect that those who live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will inherit the earth. Amen.